Hi, my name is Steve Bidwell. I'm your speaker for today. Larry invited me and I was so excited. I've been here before and I look forward to this. I spent a lot of time in prayer about what God wanted me to bring and talk to you about. And so today's passage will start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin around verse 3, and we will go all the way through part of chapter 5. Now, I have to tell you that having an opportunity to bring God's word to anyone is always exciting to me. I know it is to Larry because he loves to talk about it. Larry and I have been friends for a good many years, haven't we, Larry? We have a strange acquaintance. We both went to the same computer school, and it was a challenging school, to say the least. Just to get into the school was a challenge. Larry got in, and once I met Larry, I said, oh my goodness, we have a relationship here. And Larry and I attend a Thursday morning Bible study at 6:30 in the morning. Now, Larry is very attentive. I tend to drag my feet in there. As older I have gotten, it's harder for me to move like I used to, but Larry is so gracious. And anyway, I look forward to sharing God's word with you. Now, if you have your Bibles, I would like you to open there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't, that's okay, because I'm going to read it verbatim. I'm using the American Standard Version, and that's the way I preach. So if you say, gee whiz, I could just read this. Well, yes, you could. You certainly could. But I also add a little emphasis here and do some explanation so it's clear for you. Before I do this, I would like to take a moment of prayer and ask God's blessing upon us, upon His Word. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, this afternoon, really, and just ask for your blessing upon this word that we to our impart to everyone. Father, I just ask you for clarity of mind. I ask you to put your Holy Spirit and enhance it to each and every one who's here. And for someone who maybe doesn't know you in a personal way, Father, let's convict them. And that they will come to know me. I can't change them, but Lord, you can. And I surrender myself to you and to your teaching. For we pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now in chapter 4, verse 3, it starts out and it says, and even if our gospel is veiled, wait a minute. My eyes are fading.
It's okay.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Ooh. In whose case the God of this world, the devil of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of this glory of Christ. Jesus Christ, we sang it in those songs, he came, he died for our sins, and anyone who puts their faith and trust in him, they have eternal life. They pass from death to life. Who is in the image of God? Jesus Christ is in the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And ourselves as your bondservant. Paul is talking, and he's talking about this. He's the bondservant. And light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and glory of God in the face of Christ. One time a professor asked a profound question. What is darkness? particularly bright young Christian man, spoke up quickly and said, "Well, darkness is the absence of light. And who is the light of the world? It's Jesus Christ. He is the absolute light of the world. All of you wonder about this world. I understand that. I came into this world. I know Larry came into this world. We were afflicted. A lot of you are afflicted. And we sit there and we wonder, why do we, shouldn't we have hope now that we're going through this affliction?" You know, I'm going to answer that question. What from here? What from Scripture? It's right there written for us. And we'll sometimes say, "Well, I don't understand. Why does God allow us to go through this?" Yeah. It's a mystery to me until I realize that you're having an impact on the entire world. You don't even realize it. They see you get up. They see some of you go to work. I know Larry works. I know some of the others in here work. I work. And we struggle through these times of physicality. I don't care what it is. We struggle. The people watch us. They watch us intently. I know at my church, I serve in Mesquite, Texas, and tonight there's a good chance I won't go to the Sunday evening service. I'm not upset about it. But I want to tell you, there are about seven or eight people going to be there, and they're going to ask, "Where's Steve?" Mm-hmm. "Where is he?" Because I'm always there. But you know what? I tell my pastor, I said, "Well, Pastor Scott, you've got to tell them that I'm okay, because they'll start calling the paramedics and everything else trying to check on me because I'm there all the time. They watch me all the time. People watch you. You say, "Well, I don't have anything for the ministry." Yeah, you do. Living is your ministry. Living for Jesus is your ministry, day in and day out. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. That is your ministry. But we have these treasures in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power, the will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Did you get that? Even though we are afflicted, we're not crushed. We're perplexed. Oh, we are perplexed. But not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the divine of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You see, God gives us these temporary vessels. We call it the human body. He knows they're temporary. He knows the day. You know, He knows the day that you die. He even tells us in Scripture that He knows the number of hairs on our head. And I know Larry has fewer than the most, but he still knows the numbers. Each and every one of us. He knows everything about us. He knows every drip of blood that courses through your veins. We sometimes can't imagine. Well, why? Why does He do that? If we love Him and we serve Him, why are we afflicted? Why do we go through these persecutions? It wasn't that long ago, I was visiting, and for some reason, the party I was visiting got upset with me. And I couldn't understand why. And I sit there, and I was perplexed, and he just lit into me and just called me just about everything in the book, plus the book. And it just bothered me. And it says here, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. But you know, even through that persecution, Jesus Christ was with me. And to this day, I still maintain a good friendship with this person. It was hurtful at the time. It just destroyed me. I went for a while and just said, you know what, will take myself out of that situation and I'll try to lick my wounds. I was going through several things at that time. I was grieving over the loss of my wife, and it was very hard for me. And I know some of you have lost loved ones, and it's difficult. Life is difficult for us, but God stands with us. He blesses us. Even though we are in pain and we're suffering, He still takes care of us. But we're not destroyed. Always carry about in the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Now, what does that mean? Well, even though Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, we put our faith and trust in Him, now we carry the death of Christ with us, in the sense that He paid the price of our sins. He paid for those, and He washed our sins away. Now, don't get me wrong, does Christians sin? Yes, they do. I'm just as much prone to sin as anybody. I can be distracted through my eyes. I can be distracted through my language if I'm not careful. But the one who paid the price for me, He's still there with me.
That's right.
He knows what I'm going to do. He knows my failures. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Do you get that? As we live in Christ, we're always being delivered unto death. But Christ, He is there with us. He sees us through it. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Oh, wow. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean, manifested in our mortal flesh? Listen. I, for one, I know my days are drawing near. Everyone is going to pass from this earth. Everyone is going to die. But Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who now indwells us in each and every one of us in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, well, we are constantly dying under Him. Death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, now in verse 13, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. In other words, He died for your sins. He died for your trespasses. He died for you, and yet He lives within us. And therefore, when we are faced to trials of temptation, the trials of different things in our lives, physicality, maybe even up into the point of death, Jesus Christ is right there with us. He's never abandoned us. He's not walked away from us. He knows what we go through. He understands what we go through. He is the creator of all. Did you know also in, I believe it's in the book of Colossians, it says, Jesus Christ, for Him and by Him, all things were created. He was there at the foundations of the universe. He spoke it into existence. He knew you then. How is that possible? How is that possible? We cannot compare God to us. He's beyond measurement. He is beyond anything. He is absolutely wondrous. Wondrous. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, I hate to tell you this, well, you probably can see it, I'm decaying. I'm just decaying. I'm rotting away. Oh, I hate to tell you all, you're probably doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Don't despair. Please don't despair. Jesus knows it's going on. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Did you? Wow, what a wow. Renewed. Did you know your spirit's being renewed? I think I had a wonderful lunch with a pastor friend of mine, and we were sitting there, and I was a little lamenting over the fact that I can't do things like I used to. I was a stud. I mean, I fell on the floor. I could just single-handed get up. Now I fall on the floor, I have to call paramedics. I just don't act like I used to. Yeah, you know, I know you sitting there thinking, well, this guy doesn't look that old. He must be feeding. Well, I'm that old. For the moment, listen to this. This is important to you. I want you to listen to this next passage. This is important. For the momentary, know what that means, it's a short period of time. Light affliction. What you're going through is considered by God light affliction. Is producing for us an eternal weight of glory for beyond comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Well, we all get excited when the Cowboys start playing. We think about dreams of sugar plums and lollipops and the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. Well, you know, that's been a long time now, and it doesn't look like it's getting any closer. But the point of it, the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl is a temporal thing. It's a temporary thing. I heard a man playing football one time, a very famous football runner, and he said, if the Super Bowl is such a big deal, why do we play for it every year? What an astounding statement. In other words, it's just temporal. It's just for now. It's just for the next few weeks. Though I root for the Cowboys, I'll admit to that. It's, you know, it's distraction. We look at it as enjoyment. It's entertainment, cheap entertainment. If you got TV, if you go to the games, it's not so cheap. While we look not at the things which we see, but at the things which we do not see, for the things which we see are temporal, but the things which we do not see are eternal.
That's right.
Are eternal. Do you know, we talk about lots of things. We talk about this, we talk about that, our friends, our cousins. But you know, heaven is eternal. It's an eternal resting place for our soul. Do you know, God doesn't talk much about it. I've heard some Christian preachers say, well, he doesn't talk about it because he's afraid that everybody would be dying to get there. No, I don't think he talks about it for the simple fact that he just said, it's where you want to be. If you love me, you're going to be there. And I know you're afflicted. I know you go through struggles. I go through struggles. I know Larry goes through struggles. We battle this world. This world is where the devil lives. This world is where Satan rules. Yet Jesus Christ, he rules in heaven. My hope and your hope, and this is what this is all about, is our hope in Jesus Christ is eternal. Eternal. Now, if you're familiar with Paul's writing, we break it up in chapters. But this should not be broken up in a chapter. They broke it up at the wrong place. Because this goes on. This whole thought, this whole communication goes on. For it goes on and it says here, for in chapter 5 it opens up and says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house, not made with hands, an eternal in the heavens." Do you get what he's talking about? He's talking about your body. That's our temple. That's our the tent that we live in. I just talked about it as being a vessel. It's the same thing. We live in this temporal tent, this body. Some of us have better looking bodies than others. Hollywood actors and actresses, they have bodies that we sit there and dream about. They have speech and they have character. And they can sing with great talent and we admire. I just sit here next to Larry singing those songs, and you know what I realize? This guy can sing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good singer. I'm talking about you, Larry. That's a compliment. I'm just really amazed at that. But we look to these entertainers all the time, to entertainers. We think, wow, we don't realize we have talent among us.
Yes.
And my thought is being in heaven. And we'll sing those songs we just got through singing, and we'll be praising God. And people say, well, that sounds boring. Well, let me tell you, in the presence of God, you will never, ever, ever, ever be bored. You'll have nothing but joy in your heart. He's going to wipe away all your tears, all your guilty stains. He's going to take them all away. And he will put in you a transformed body, a flesh that will not cause you despair. I'm going to be running the streets of gold. I don't know about you all, but I'm going to have my gold Nikes on and I'm going to be running the streets of gold because I've never ran in my life. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Did you get that? He's talking about our temporal bodies. We groan in our temporal bodies, and he says, we're going to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Insomuch as we are having to put it on, we'll not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. Did you understand that? We don't want anybody to see our naked body. Not any of us. That's just our human nature. Now, I know there's an exception to all rules. Well, you just have to get over that and move on. But what I'm telling you, God says that we'll be clothed with heavenly clothes. That's far better. It will always be in season. It will always be in fashion. Clothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared for us this very purpose, God who gave us the Spirit as a pledge, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we will walk by faith. Not by sight, we are of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from this body, and to be at home with the Lord. Oh, my friend, you have so much to look forward to. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. His righteousness, not our righteousness, His righteousness. And he welcomes us there. And you will turn, you will think about this place called earth no longer. You will forget about all the things that were said to you, all the things, the hurtful things, the tragic things that happened to you. And you're going to be running up and down and saying, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I know you're sitting there thinking, well, he can lay a little on that now. I can take a little lifting up. Well, that's why you come to church.
Right.
That's why you hear the word of God. He gives joy in your heart. You put your eyes on him. He will never let you go. Never let you go. He loves you and you serve him with joy in your heart. Our hope is here in the scriptures. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Oh my goodness. Isn't that our desire? I want to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was talking, having lunch with my friend, and I was talking about my afflictions, he said to me, he said, you know, Steve, I kind of like to go to heaven. I don't really care when. The sooner the better. And I looked at him square in the eye and I said, I'm right there with you, brother. I'm right there with you. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not worried about it. I know that once we walk into heaven, every one of them, all those afflictions are gone. All those hurts and pains are gone. All those guilty stains and the grief you hurt and you suffer from, it'll be all wiped away. And you're going to say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I love that we are made manifest also in your consciousness. We are not, again, commending ourselves to you, but we are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is from God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died, and for all, so that they will live, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You get that? Mm-hmm. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He knows that. He loves us for that. He wants that from us. And because we've done that, he says, I look forward for you joining me in eternity. Because you love me. You love me. And I love that saying, Jesus Christ, I love him because he first loved me. And you know what? I don't have much to offer. I don't have a thing. He has it all. It's nothing I can do. I sit there and I wonder about our Lord. I think about, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be? I will tell you one thing. You won't hurt anymore. How many in here hurt? And I mean hurt all the time. I do. I mean, when you get my age, we had the weather changes in Texas. it really hurts in the fall and in the winter. People at my church say, oh, I can't stand all this heat. I got news for you. It doesn't bother me. It just doesn't bother me. I don't hurt as much. You notice I said as much. And I like the warmth. You know, sometimes I get in church and I'm sitting there and I'm literally, my teeth are chattering because it's so cold inside. I get in my car and I drive 20 minutes before I think about turning the air conditioner on because I'm thawing out. Life is humorous. We sometimes laugh at our pain and some of the things that we go through. When you get that point, I thank you for pride at knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that you just say, Lord, I'm so looking forward to seeing you. Now this shouldn't be, I don't want you all suddenly jump on, get in line and say, well, we're out of here. That's not what I'm saying. We've got a job to finish. But if you notice, he said, our affliction that we're going through is momentary. Momentary. Well, wow, what do you mean momentary? I've been this way for 75, 80 years. God looks at death, he says it's momentary. Compared to eternity, what's that song? He's been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as a star. Oh, how wonderful. Do you not realize? We're there and 10,000 years is just going by. Oh, my God. Well, what about, won't we be bored? I guarantee, I promise you, I will promise you, I'll write it down and guarantee you that you will not be bored. I don't know what we're going to be doing. I haven't got a clue. But you don't want to sign up to me. I have a Lord, a God, a Savior who's perfect in all ways. And he's going to watch over me. He's going to watch over each and every one of you. And I can tell you this, I love you. I love you in the Lord. I can say that safely. I know we sit there and think, well, how's that possible? Because when we get to heaven, all of those guilty stains and all of those hurt feelings, they're going to be all gone.
Amen.
He promises he's going to wipe our tears from our eyes. How can anyone laugh at a promise like that? A gospel promise. You, Jesus Christ says, you put your faith and trust in me, and you'll have eternal life. Oh, that's wonderful. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you because we love you, we serve you, even though we're quite inadequate at what we do. Father, we praise you and honor you because you're not inadequate. You are a holy, perfect God. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. He's our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.